Everybody, it is Jeremy Roenick and Tim Peel, and it is Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net. It is actually Thursday. We missed yesterday because I was traveling in a golf tournament. So just the fact that we get to get this show in this week, Peelzy, is awesome because, wow, do we have a new Stanley Cup final. It is crazy. But let's first thank our sponsors, Whiskey in the Wild. WhiskeyInTheWild.com for your greatest chocolate and chocolate whiskey of all time. I'm guarantee you it'll be the best drinking experience that you'll ever have.
Also, thank you to Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to the top fights in UFC and MMA and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head out on over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. JR, we're going back to Edmonton.
I'm telling you what, man. I mean, are we surprised? Yes, maybe a little bit. But are we really surprised? Because Edmonton could have or should have won game one. They got stoned by Bobrovsky. He stole that game. Then they had a couple bad breaks and then fell asleep for a period in game three. But all of a sudden, it was like the will of the best player in the world has changed. And this shows how absolutely unbelievable of a player that Connor McDavid is. And, you know, he dragged everybody into the fight in game four. He dragged everybody into the fight in game five and put on performances that are going to go in the record books. Two back-to-back four-goal games when facing four-point games and facing elimination. And it wasn't just the points, Tim, that impressed me. His work level, his compete level, his give a shit level was as high as I've seen a superstar in a long time. And we, you know, there's so many people in the game that don't have the talent that Connor McDavid has, that don't even put in the effort that Connor McDavid puts in. And that's such a difference. He willed this team back into this final. And if you're going to ask me, I would think that they have the upper hand right now, even being down 3-2.
I agree. I think this is going seven. You talk about McDavid, JR. You know, I was telling some buddies I golfed with yesterday. He said, Matthew Tkachuk had a great game. Guess what? He had 2 points. And he had a game.
Well, he tried to will his team back into that game.
Connor McDavid had 4 points. He's got 8 points in his last two games. He's got 10 points in the last seven periods of hockey. Like, this is stuff, first of all, that legends are made of. And guys go on the Mount Rushmore of hockey. Because what he's doing right now is it's so much fun to watch. It's so good for hockey. We've got a series. Before we talk any more about Connor, you said Bobrovsky. It's more like Sivbrovsky right now because he does not look like the same guy that all playoffs and games 1-2, maybe 3. Where he played phenomenal. That third goal that Connor scored and he was standing up, like, I've got a lot of worries right now. We're on the other hand, and Stuart Skinner has done this in every series. He has got better as the series has gone on, and we've seen it again. Skinner played unbelievable on Monday night.
He had a good game. He had a really good game. That initial save early on Ekblad, with that nice pass that came out in front, I think Barkov set him up. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately it was a defenseman taking that shot on the far side, but still Skinner made a huge save. And right there, you know, that gives the team such a boost when your goaltender makes a big save early, because all of a sudden they settle down, like, yep, guess what? our boy's ready. He's in it. Yep. We got him. And the confidence rises. And then you see McDavid flying around. And again, Connor Brown played so well.
Unbelievable. That,
huh?
Unbelievable.
Like, there's something happened. Something's changed in like, flip. Like, he's always been a hard worker. But he has found a different confidence level. And there's sometimes there's certain parts of your career that change the path of your career.
Buddy, and did you see reaction on Edmonton's bench when he scored? They were like, let's go, boys.
Because Connor Brown hasn't scored in like 9 months.
I forget who was it, Kulak or whoever it was that was in the penalty box for Florida or for Edmonton. He gave a
He went the fist bump in the bench. Yeah.
Pump like that. That was Connor Brown, man. Like, we talked about him on Monday, how incredible he's been. Like, I don't know. It just goes to show you, throw the regular season out the window when it comes to the playoffs, right? Because guys step up, and this is a guy that Edmonton needed to step up. It can't be all Connor, although it's been almost all Connor. But that goal was huge. And I heard yesterday somebody said that Dreisaitl might have a fracture in his foot, some sort of fracture, hairline. It wouldn't surprise me because, listen, they're doing this right now, buddy, without Leon. Leon's been non-existent.
Yeah, he hasn't been great.
And can you imagine if they can get him going? Listen, game six tomorrow night is going to be must watch. I know you're on your golf tour right now. You're playing more golf this week than Bryson DeChambeau, buddy. So before we talk about any more hockey, I saw the post that Brad May, was it Brad May or Alan May?
Brad May
posted on Twitter your hole-in-one video. How many holes? First of all, what day was that, on Tuesday?
That was on Monday, yeah.
In Canada?
Yeah, I was up in Canada, Rocky Crest, 17th hole, 153 yards, hit an 8-iron, went in, and they didn't think it went in. I told them it went in, and they're like, no way. I said,
did you see it go in?
I didn't see it go in because the pin was tucked behind the bunker, but I knew it went in. I hit it too pure. It was right at the pin. I knew the distance, and, you know, you just have one of those feelings, the ball's in the hole, and that, you know. Next thing you know, it's in the hole. And
I don't have that feeling that the ball's in the hole. I already know the answer to this, but to our listeners, how many hole-in-ones does that make for you?
So I have six. However, I say eight because I have two that went in after I dropped one in the water. So I had to re-tee and hit another one. The one right before this was a 205-yard shot at Southern Highlands. I put my first one in the water. I just got so mad. I just threw a ball down, hit the next one. And the caddy's like, that's in the hole. I'm like, don't say that. Don't tell me that's in the hole. Because I don't want a 205-yard shot to be a three. But
Well, I hate you because I've only been playing golf for 45 years. Since I was 13, and I have zero holes in ones. Like, even bad golfers get a hole in one.
I hate to say this, but my wife has a hole in one, and she doesn't even play golf. Yeah, she doesn't even play golf.
God, I'm going to the practice range today. Yeah.
And my son's mad at me too because he doesn't have one too, and he's a two handicapper, so he's frustrated also.
Is he a two?
He's a two. Yeah, he can. He's got a pro swing. I mean, he can just pound the ball. It's a different level. It just goes and goes and goes. But yeah, it was pretty special. And yeah, I'm in Portland, Maine. I have a celebrity golf tournament, Drive for Kids Foundation. So hopefully I can 50 grand for first place. Hopefully I can put it together, but my game is just off a bit, man. It's just off a bit. So we'll see what happens, but I'll be able to get to watch the hockey game, which is very, very important. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if the Panthers can find some way to grab their confidence back, because their confidence is just shot. Even though they played a good third period in game five and, you know, had a chance to get back at it, they're just reeling. Bobrovsky, like you said, he's just lost the Conn Smythe Trophy.
He's lost.
I think Conn McDavid wins it, whether they lose or win. He'll be one of those few players in hockey history to win the Conn Smythe, win or lose.
I'm glad you brought that up. Do you know that there are only five players who have won the Conn Smythe as a member of the losing side?
Two are goalies.
Final. No, I'm going to read them out. Roger Crozier, 1966. Glenn Hall, 1968. Reggie Leach, 1976. Ron Hextall, 1987. And John Sebastian Jaguar, we remember that, in 2003.
Three goalies.
Four. Reggie Leach is the only one. You got Crozier, Hall.
I didn't know Crozier was a goalie.
Yeah. Crozier, Hall, Hextall, and Jaguar. And I remember that. You remember that 2003, John Sebastian Jaguar was
sick.
Unbelievable. So think about that. In the history of the NHL, you've got five guys that have only won it for the losing team. And I am with you 1,000%, no matter if it ends tomorrow night. Connor McDavid's got to get the Conn Smythe. You can't give it to Bobrovsky anymore. Barkov's played incredible, but doesn't have the points. Matthews picked up his game, although in game five, that was Matthew Tkachuk's first goal in 9 games or 10 games. So the obvious choice is Connor. Connor's got to
get. You got 42 points and he's got 2 games probably remaining. I mean, he has a chance to catch the all-time record in Gretz at 97. I mean, 47.
It's unbelievable. You know what? I really think this series is whoever scores first. I think whoever scores first wins the game on Friday night in Edmonton. I really think that. I think it creates so much emotion for that team that scores first in this series is what it looks like. And
that's what happened in game five. I mean, the fact that Connor Brown scored a shorthanded goal, first goal of the game, just demoralized Florida and it quieted the crowd and look what it did to Edmonton. I mean, it was such a huge momentum swing. Not that there was a big momentum in either way, but it gave the big time momentum into Edmonton's favor, and they just took it from there and just did not relinquish it.
You know, I talked about this to the guys on the golf course yesterday. I said Corey Perry won a cup. I think it was his second year in the league at 22 years old for Anaheim, and you know that's 15, 18 years ago. He's never won another cup. Can you imagine if you're Matthew Tkachuk? Because guess what? You don't know. You don't know. He may never get to another Stanley Cup again.
Well, look, I mean, listen, one person that should know what's going on in this situation is Matthew Tkachuk, because his dad is with him every single day saying, Matthew, I played 19, 18 years in the league and I never won a cup. I didn't even get close to a cup.
Right.
I don't think Keith Tkachuk got past the second round in the playoffs. I think like 3/4 of his career, he either missed the playoffs or exited in the first round.
Right.
The frustration that Keith Tkachuk had in playoffs was monumental. And I felt for him every year because he's such a competitor and he wants to win so bad. You can see it, you know, he's in his every movement, every word that comes out of his mouth, his facial expressions. And he was never able to move past the second round. So you can imagine that he's looking at Matthew saying, Matthew, this could be your only opportunity. And like his frustration must be through the roof too for his son.
100%. Because can you imagine if they lose this series, which would be one of the biggest collapses ever in the history of the NHL, and then you go your entire career and you don't have another opportunity to win a Stanley Cup, and to look back and go,
it's very, very possible that happens.
It makes you sick to your stomach, because it's like he may have one of the best careers ever, but he may look back and go, we were up 3-0 and we couldn't win that fourth game. I'm with you. I think it'll go 7. But then on the other hand, JR, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Florida won on Friday night. You know what I mean? Florida, listen, let's not forget, Florida is an unbelievable hockey team. Unbelievable, right? So it wouldn't surprise me if they won. Do I think they're going to win? No, I think Edmonton's going to push it to seven.
Yep.
But it wouldn't surprise me if Florida won.
I totally agree. But I will tell you, Sam Reinhart has disappeared.
Yeah, he has.
You have Bennett. Bennett has been physical, but hasn't done anything offensively. Barkov, again, yes, he's been good, but he's not stopping Connor McDavid right now.
No.
He needs to score goals if he's not going to play defense. You know, Verhaeghe has a couple goals in the final, so he's pulling his weight a little bit, but there's too many guys right now that aren't scoring goals, have kind of disappeared for Florida that need to start scoring. Matthew Tkachuk had a big second half of game five, so maybe that gets him going again. But he was quiet the first three games of this series.
How about the diving save he made on the empty net goal?
That's just Matthew, you know. Right. I mean, he tries it, and then, you know, just to add insult to injury, you know, he gives the puck right to Connor McDavid and just ends up in the back of the net. But that's the desperation that team needs from the start, right? Is that desperation to, you know, to pay the price to get things done. And they just seem tired right now, or they seem deflated or nervous. Florida is definitely a deer in the headlights right now. And it's all because this one, I don't even say a one man team, because he's got Connor McDavid has his entire team playing to his level of energy. Their defense is playing better. Darnell Nurse has been playing better. Ekholm was absolutely spectacular in the last two games. Skinner's been great. Bouchard's been very, very good. You know, Boberg has been really good. Like, they have really paid attention to not only picking up their energy and their tenacity, but also paying attention to the little things in the game, the tic-tac-toe, the position, the strategic, absolute, very, very mindful, systematic ways of playing the game. They're on it, and they're staying out of the penalty box.
Yeah, they are.
So,
you know what's scary, though, is they're up 3-0, and you know, I think Evan Bouchard has 30 points right now in the playoffs. He's you know, done a tremendous job point wise, but they're up 3-0, and they're in their defensive zone, and he's 60 feet away from his net up at the blue line, and it results in a goal. Like, Evan Bouchard, he, as good as he is, sometimes he's a train wreck on defense. But I don't know if this is a distraction to Florida. So what happens to our listeners is, game four, Florida has a plane. The team goes up 2 days early. Florida has a team, has a plane that they bring all the team personnel. They bring family members. The Tkachuks were probably on that plane. They bring them all up to Edmonton for game four in hopes that they're gonna host the Stanley Cup. They don't do it. Now they got to go back home. Now they do the same. Edmonton hasn't done this yet because they haven't had a chance to clinch it. Now for game five, now they're at home. They lose again. Now game six, they do the same thing. They rent another plane. They bring everybody up to Edmonton. It's like, and we saw Bill Zito in the press box after game five, grabbing a water bottle. It was reminiscent of Cam Neely a few years ago, throwing it in the suite. Bill Zito is pissed. He's stressed. You can just feel it. Everybody is stressed.
Everywhere.
Organization right now.
Everywhere. Right. Through each seat in the arena. The players' faces. Yeah, everybody that was in that box was Zito. Listen, they're all nervous. And you know who's not nervous right now? Edmonton.
No. They have nothing to lose.
They're feeling fantastic. They're like, we have a chance to make history. Let's do it, boys. We got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Everybody's expecting us to lose. Everybody's counted us out. And Yeah, and you, when you talk about that, that's a lot of money that Florida is spending to try to win a Stanley Cup and let everybody celebrate with them. Could you imagine the waste if they don't win? Oh. I mean, that's going to hurt for a long time, if you ask me.
100%. Like, it's you know, they're putting them up in hotels, they're paying for the plane. It's like, I don't know. It's a lot of pressure on Florida right now. I'm watching Paul Maurice's post-game news conference, press conference, and he is not that gregarious. Everyone, you know, he's joking around.
Everything's changed.
He's joking around.
Tone has changed. Words have changed. Facial expressions have changed. Body mannerisms have changed. You know, and that's not fun. I mean, now you're starting to play. The players are starting to play with nerves, right? Yeah. But again, we did say Florida is an amazing team. They've been there. They were there last year. They understand. But it's probably going to take 7 games. And just like the National Hockey League playoffs have been all year, and just like we expect, because we always say the NHL is the best playoff watching sport in the world. Uh-huh. And this is turning out to be a great final and finale of the season. So good kudos for them. But there's a lot of other stuff going around the line in that hockey league, which we have to talk about. Couple trades. Let's talk trades first.
Let's talk about our favorite player, Pierre-Luc Dubois, because you have been hard.
Boy, that lasted a long time, didn't it?
He didn't even make it 12 calendar months. It's unbelievable. This is his fourth team, and he's 26 years old. His fourth team, JR. Like, if I'm Rob Blake, I'm like,
He just had Christmas in June.
Yeah, he's probably looking at Luke Robitaille. They've got Brian McClellan, the GM of Washington, on speaker. And he's looking around the room going, I can't believe they're going to take Pierre-Luc Dubois off my hands. Are you kidding me? And
not only that, but they took his entire salary and they gave up Darcy Kemper, who is at the end of his career.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they get another draft pick or something with that?
I don't know.
Was it because if that was a straight up trade, Darcy Kemper for Pierre-Luc Dubois, that is a kick in the nuts to Dubois, which probably now that you ask me, it's, you know, LA definitely got the better of this deal because they got rid of a dog of a player and a guy that I couldn't believe that LA signed for that much. And I even said it when they signed him last summer that, you know, they better hope that Pierre-Luc Dubois finds a heart and plays well for the Kings, because he complains about every place else he's playing. But it's about time that he starts complaining about himself, not where he's playing, which is an absolute joke when you have that as much talent as he has. But he has no heart. He has no jam. And to tell you the truth, I think he's afraid. I think he's chicken shit on the ice.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. And you know what? I'm not going to shit on Rob Blake, because I love Blakey. He's NHL royalty. He's a tremendous person, but
he's one of the best people in the National Hockey League, and that ever has been in the National Hockey League. He's such a tremendous man.
But think about this. The optics of this deal from the LA side are undeniably ugly. I'm reading a quote. As they landed Dubois from the Winnipeg Jets last offseason, a sign and trade that included an 8-year, $68 million contract. That move can now be boiled down to Alex Iafoto, Gabe Vilardi, and Rasmus Kapari, and a second round pick for Kemper. So think about that. They gave up on Iafoto, Gabe Vilardi, and Rasmus Kupari, who are three excellent players. That's what Winnipeg got out of that deal for Pierre-Luc Dubois. And listen, if Rob Blake wasn't a legend in LA and NHL royalty, most GMs would lose their job over that. That's unbelievable.
It is. It was a tough move. And listen, I love Rob Blake also. I'm never going to question his decision making, because he is one of the smartest hockey guys that I've ever played with and known. He put his faith in somebody that has a lot of talent, and hoped that a nice place to play in California would have been enough for Dubois to show some heart and show some care, and it didn't. And I guess that's what they say. Sometimes you can't change the stripes on a zebra,
right?
You know, we had the same conversation the other day about Patrick Laine. There's some people that just don't have the wherewithal inside deep to dig deep and to do what you have to do to either one, do great for your team, number two, do good for yourself, but number three, have pride in the person that you are after signing a huge contract that the team's put that much faith into you. I mean, that to me speaks volumes.
It's funny you bring up Laine, because he was the one that was the trade. Patrick Laine going from Winnipeg to Columbus for Pierre-Luc Dubois. So there's two players that they've got so much potential, but neither one of them have, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois was a third overall pick. He went ahead.
The guy's got talent. Let's not take away the talent level. This kid can skate. He's got great hands. He's big. I don't know whether he's strong, because he doesn't show the strength that on a consistent basis. So you have to guess. But yeah, there's just too much talent being wasted, and that's what frustrates me.
I honestly, but I'm looking up Dubois' draft year, 2016. Austin Matthews went first, Patrick Laine went second, and Dubois went third.
And who went fourth and fifth? Because that becomes a really important in terms of the dogs that were picked ahead of this, probably some guys that are still playing.
Let's see here. While I'm looking it up, let's talk about Jersey. Jersey getting Markstrom, bud.
It's a big move.
This is a big move. I think they automatically go into the playoffs. I think this makes them a playoff team.
You know, I went to go see the Devils in Anaheim, because Travis Green is a very, very close friend of mine. So I went up there when Jersey was in Anaheim, and I talked to a lot of people. I talked to Ken Danico. I talked to Chico Resch. I talked to a lot of people that were around the team. And every single person said the same thing, is we need a goalie. We need some sort of goaltending, because that was their Achilles heel. Besides the injuries that they had to deal with, which they were one of the most injured teams over the last 2 years, their goaltending let them down, unfortunately. To get Markstrom fills a gap and fills a hole and a needed part of their team that is just it's playoff changing. I agree with you in that aspect.
Well, and now you've got two solid goaltenders, because your backup's Jake Allen. Like, that's a good tandem.
How much does Jake Allen have left in the tank?
He's got a lot. Jake's a pro, man. Like, he played well for Montreal last year. He played well for Jersey when he came over. Jake is a very solid NHL goaltender. Is he going to lead you to the promised land and win? It's probably not. But now that you've got Markstrom, Jake's going to probably play 30 games, 25 games, and he's a very solid goaltender. So I think that puts Jersey in a tremendous position, I think it makes them a playoff team. And if I'm Sheldon Keefe, you know, I've kind of been hard on Sheldon Keefe, but I was listening to an interview with Tom Fitzgerald, and he said it takes talent to coach talent, or you got to have talent to coach talent. And what he's saying is Sheldon Keefe is a talented coach, and he has a lot of talented players on that Jersey team. I've been hard on Sheldon Keefe, but in fairness to him, maybe I'll take a little bit of it back, because that Toronto team has never been built to get out of the first round. They don't have the defense. They rely on the core four too much. That Jersey team is a much more balanced team, stronger defense than Toronto's. Yeah. So Sheldon Keefe, buddy, we may look back in 8 months or 10 months from now and say, Sheldon Keefe has been nominated for Coach of the Year award. They may have that type of year.
Well, I think anything can happen. I mean, look what Rick Tocchet did in Vancouver this year. And we didn't really know how good of a coach Rick Tocchet was, because he wasn't given the tools in Arizona to be very good. We're going to find out what type of coach he is. So I'm hoping good things for him, because I mean, I like watching Jersey. Obviously I'm a big Jack Hughes fan. I'm a Hughes brothers fan. Right. So want to see him do well. But I don't know. We'll have to see, because again, we talked about Sheldon Keefe, a few weeks back in our podcast, a couple months back, saying we really don't know how good of a coach he is, because he's never done anything. But he's going to have the tools, I think, now to show what he can do. And I'm sure, I know he's a proud guy, and you know what, he's always said the right things. He's taken accountability up in Toronto, which I totally appreciate and admire. And I know he wants to bounce back and show people that he's a good coach. And I'm going to wish him all the luck and hope he does.
Well, now that Markstrom's been moved, I kind of wonder where Linus Allmark goes now, because he's not going to stay in Boston. I think they've realized that Jeremy Swayman is their number one goalie. And
yeah, you can't do that 2 years in a row, right? You can't keep that goaltender 2 years in a row and not get something for him right now.
They got to move him. And I think you get a pretty good package for Linus Allmark.
Absolutely will. Well, it's funny. Well, I'm here in Portland, and I am almost positive that Jeremy Swayman is here playing. So I will see him this morning.
Oh, he's playing in the tournament?
Yeah, he's playing in the tournament. So I will be very interested to have that little conversation about what he thinks is going to happen. Because Jeremy has earned that number one spot. He had absolutely spectacular year last year and played great in the playoffs. But it's definitely in the Bruins' best interest right now if they want to improve their team, because they do have some, aging players. Obviously, Marchand is getting older, and they need something different, something else, right?
Toronto needs a goalie, bud. Like Joseph Woll, who was a first round draft pick in the same draft year as Matthew Tkachuk and Clayton Keller the year five.
You just said something really cool. How about you have an Allmark for a Marner?
Right. It's not out of the question. I don't know if Toronto would trade Marner to Boston, but they need a starting goaltender. I'm a big Joseph Woll fan. I know him. He's a St. Louis kid. He went in the draft year, as I just mentioned, the same year five St. Louis guys went in the fourth round. Trent Frederick being one of them. Clayton Keller, Matthew Tkachuk.
By the way, you just said it. Can we give a shout out to St. Louis amateur hockey and what McGinnis and Tkachuk and Chaser have done for Brownie, what they've done for St. Louis minor league hockey. Just amazing organization that they've helped build.
100%. I brought Brownie out golfing last week to my club, and I'm
there's another underrated defenseman that was just unbelievable, that I hated playing against. His shot was underrated, his hockey sense was underrated. Awesome hockey sense.
I forgot why he retired and we're golfing and having a few beers, and I'm like, why did you finally retire? He goes, concussions. He just couldn't play through it anymore. But here's a guy, he's got two kids, both played in the United States development program. One of them was in Wisconsin, And so his kids are gone. And he's still coaching the U18 AAA Blues. And I'm like, why do you continue to coach, Brownie? You know, your kids are gone. And he goes, Peelsy, I just love it. I love coaching. I love giving back. So think about that. These kids are getting taught by one of the great defensemen to ever play in the NHL. And to your point, Al MacInnis coached these kids. Keith Tkachuk coached these kids. Chaser, Brownie, Pronger coached for a while. Like the St. Louis alumni have done a tremendous job in giving back to minor hockey here in St. Yep. Louis. So I agree with you. As far as another alumni that I just love, and it happened last week in kind of a, I had heard it was going to happen. I'd seen Alex Steen around town the last 18 months, and he wanted to come back and be part of the organization. His family, they're from Sweden, but they absolutely love St. Louis. And Doug Armstrong, they had a press conference last week naming Alexander the GM in 2026. He's going to work under Doug, who I consider one of the best GMs ever to be a general manager in this league. And Steiner, I text him. I'm like, dude, the St. Louis fans are happy. They're excited you're back. He goes, Peelsy, my family is happy that we're coming back. They're so excited. That's great.
Good for him.
Because Steiner bleeds blue, buddy. Like, listen, I kind of use this comparison. Kyle Dubas, maybe a good GM. I don't know. I don't think he's great. But anyway, he takes a GM job in Pittsburgh. Yeah, he loves the Penguins and all that. But he didn't grow up there. Didn't play there. Alexander Steen won a cup here. He knows what the fans like here. He knows the type of team he needs to build here in order to keep the fans happy. Steiner's a great fit for this position.
Yeah, I always like when teams bring back their alumni and people that were successful in that organization. It just brings so much accountability to the team, and it brings that atmosphere into the locker room, right? And to create that sort of that feeling that players that are new there, they have to learn what that feeling is like being in that situation and being in that atmosphere and having pride in it. There's a lot of teams, you know, it's one of the reasons why Arizona was so bad. It's because they refused to bring back, you know, people that had real positive effects. Shane Doan, they had to keep Shane Doan around because he was Mr. Coyote. But like take me for example. I lived in Scottsdale. I lived a mile away from the practice facility, and not once did they ask me to come help them do anything. You know, it's just stupidity. It's just dumb. It's just dumb mentality in terms of, do you want to win or do you not want to win? Or do you want to win or do you want to save money? And, you know, that's why the Coyotes are now the Utah Hockey Club.
Well, and that's a very important point that you brought up, because some teams embrace the past and other teams don't. And I think the teams that embrace the past and keep these guys involved, they create a culture that that's what Steiner's trying to build here, is a culture to say, hey, if you wear the blue logo, it's not so much the name on the back, it's the logo on the front.
You know who's done that the best?
Who?
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit Red Wings.
Yep.
Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
Okay. You look at those three teams. Okay. Edmonton is now back in the finals. How many? Pittsburgh won back-to-back cups, 17, 18. You have Detroit won how many cups during the 90s and, you know, in the 2002 dynasties, because they brought people on that made, even the Boston Bruins, right? Boston Bruins keep their guys around. Neely, Sweeney, you can go right on down the line in Boston. So it's an important part of the game. And obviously it's got to be the right players for a lot of different reasons, but kudos to St. Louis. But anyway, let's get back. Game 6. Give me your prediction. what's going to happen, and then we'll wrap this show up and wait on pins and needles until this game starts.
Before I give my prediction, and I don't know if we paid him a little bit of love the last couple months, but you got to be impressed with Chris Knobloch, the job he's done. I think he's cemented himself as a solid NHL coach, JR.
Like, yeah, and listen, I'll agree with you. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think he made a couple really smart moves in terms of lineup changes that changed the course of this team, putting in McLeod, putting in Corey Perry, yeah. Putting in Boberg. That was a very big move, and one that turned out very well. But all you got to do is, as a coach, is open the door and let Connor McDavid on the ice. Okay, that's it. I remember a funny story Jeff Norton said to me one time. Who was the coach for the Islanders back in the 70s and 80s? Al Arbor. So Al Arbor and Jeff Norton did not get along very well. They were just not friends. And they were having a spat in the locker room in between a period, and Al Arbor is just ripping Jeff Norton and saying, "You don't know how to win. I win, won 4 Stanley Cups. How many Stanley Cups, right? They won 4 in a row back in the late 70s, early 80s, right?" And Al's just ripping Jeff Norton how he's not no good, doesn't know how to win, and "I won Stanley Cups. What do you know?" And Jeff Norton says to Al Arbor, "Mickey Mouse could have coached that team to a Stanley Cup. What are you kidding me? You had nothing to do with it." Right in front of all the boys. I thought that was so funny. Leave it to Jeff Norton to give just a zinger like that to probably one of the most iconic coaches of all time. Hilarious.
Well, I don't think I'm going out on the limb here, but I'm going to pick Edmonton in six, in game six. I think they're going to win 4-2. And I think we're going back to Sunrise for game seven on Monday night, bud.
You know what? 4-2 is, I mean, I like that, but I just think it's going to be another spanking. I just think that, listen, Florida is going to be depressed, having to get on another plane, fly all the way up to Edmonton. The nerves are going to be all jumbled up. They are going to be on high alert, pins and needles, and Edmonton is just going to come out. And I think they're going to spank them.
Well, and if Edmonton scores first, don't put the camera on the Edmonton bench to see them celebrating. Put the camera on Florida's bench, because if Edmonton scores first, Florida's going to be like, "Oh shit."
I think you said earlier, the greatest players in history have something that marks their career, and they do something that will always be remembered. Gretz had a bunch of them. Mario had a bunch of them. Mess had a bunch of them. I just believe that Connor McDavid, and believing how good he is and where he's going to go down in the annals of history, it just seems like this is fate for him.
Well, the moment doesn't seem to bother him, right? It doesn't seem to bother him. And it doesn't bother him.
And by the way, there's a lot of other players in the National Hockey League that have a lot of talent.
Yep.
Right. That are struggling to find their game right now. I hope every single one of them watches game six and watches the effort and the tenacity and the jam that Connor McDavid plays. If anybody doesn't have to play with that much jam, it's Connor McDavid, because he's the most talented. But, just like Sidney Crosby played, he played all out, just like Patrice Bergeron played, he played all out. Watch Connor McDavid work. Watch his attention to detail. Watch his tenacity, his jam. And if that's not a teaching tool for a lot of NHL players and young people of how to play the game, this is what separates the superstars from just the average good players.
Absolutely. It's going to be exciting. Can't wait for Friday night. Listen, you go win a golf tournament today, okay?
All right, buddy. Well, I got 4 days. I got 4 days. I got to grind and get my swing intact. But hopefully, right near that podium, or at least in that last group, come Sunday. So, buddy, you're the best. This has been another Snipes and Stripes on NoFilter.net. We will see you guys Monday for Snipes and Stripes Weekend Edition. Maybe we'll be talking about a Stanley Cup winner. Maybe we'll be talking about maybe Game 7. who knows? I think we're going to be talking about a game seven. Love you, Tim. Good job today.
I felt.
Yeah, thanks to Whiskey in the Wild and to Bet Online and to Protective Neck Guards. You guys are the best.
See you, pal.
See ya.